Today we go to the Word of God, and we go to the Scripture. It's in Jeremiah. If you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5, and we'll read that Scripture in just a moment. The title you can see, Racing Against the Horses. In the waning days of the kingdom of Judah, the nation of Israel and Judah were accelerated in their decline. And the prophet Jeremiah sees the immoral and godless decline of the nation. And Jeremiah brings a complaint to the Lord about how the wicked people of the nation seem to be gaining control and power and authority. And they seem to be having a good time destroying the country, while Jeremiah, as he tells the Lord, I'm walking in integrity. So he's making a comparison as he talks to the Lord. He's saying, God, I'm one of the few righteous left, and I'm walking in integrity, and the whole rest of the country is just going to immoral darkness. And then God gave his servant, his faithful prophet, a rather blunt answer in response to his complaint. And that answer you see in Jeremiah 12 and 5. The Lord says to Jeremiah, if racing against mere men makes you tired, how will you race against horses? If you stumble and fall on open ground, what will you do in the thickets near the Jordan? In other words, I'll paraphrase what I think the Lord was saying to Jeremiah. He was saying, buck up, old chap. Quit your whining. Things are going to go from bad to worse. It's like the Lord was saying, you think it's bad now, wait till it gets worse. You think you're having a hard time today, just running on the open flat plain, wait till it gets really tough and you're racing against the horses. I can imagine Jeremiah, maybe in his mind, he didn't say it out loud, but I wonder if he was thinking something like this. Well, thank you, Lord. Could I now speak to the Holy Spirit? I've heard he's the comforter. In our own nation, today, it seems as if evil and sin and immorality and darkness are advancing constantly. We see it all around us. And along that line, ministers have been told or led to believe that if we speak out from the pulpit on matters of governance, laws and things of political nature, that if we speak out on those things, that the IRS will come and remove our tax-exempt status. It's an effort to get us to be quiet in the pulpit on those matters. But I'm going to remind you today and anyone else that may be listening, and including the IRS if they happen to listen at any point, that the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights to the Constitution of the United States says these words, Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So today we celebrate those who have served our nation and who have fought bravely to protect those very freedoms that's given to us in the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all the amendments. I will tell you today, these people that have served, they deserve our honor and our thanks, and one of the greatest things we can do to thank them is that we must, as citizens, we must stand firm, holding on to and defending our rights and our freedoms given to us by the Constitution, despite or in spite of political and social pushback and voices against what we stand for, which is the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I believe that in America, that right now, already, we are racing against the horses, so to speak, regarding the future of America and the future of freedom of religion. I can cite plenty of items about personal loss of liberty and loss of freedoms, including religious liberty. But permit me just to touch on a few this morning. Not just a few years ago, in Rowan County, North Carolina, The county commissioners opened their meetings with prayer. They had done that for many, many years. Often the meetings would open with prayer, with one of the county commissioners actually praying. And often when they would conclude the prayer, one of the county commissioners that would be praying would conclude the prayer, "In the name of Jesus we pray, amen." Well, three folks in the community said they were offended by that, and they complained. And the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, filed suit against the county, saying that they were violating the laws that this in their imagination of separation of church and state, that they were opening these prayers and using the name of Jesus. Well, in July of 2017, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on the matter. The 15 judges that ruled, 10 out of the 15 judges ruled that the conduct of opening that prayer meeting, opening that meeting with prayer, that conduct was unconstitutional, that such activities made folks feel pressured to conform, even if they weren't Christians. The ruling, I believe, was in direct disregard of the Supreme Court's prior ruling giving support of sectarian prayer in the midst of legislatures and Congress when people would gather for government purposes. In fact, the Supreme Court has historically recognized these types of government meetings, that they're allowed to be open with prayer, including in the name of Jesus. I have opened prayer for our city council in the city of McKinney two different times. And when I opened prayer for that city council, I was free. I was told I was free to pray any way I wanted. I prayed that prayer to bless those leaders, to give them wisdom, and my prayer was in the name of Jesus. We still have those rights in some places. But by a vote of 10-5, those judges at that Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals said, you can't do that anymore in that county, in those county commissioners' court opening meetings. It seems like the court's majority, the 10 people that voted against that opening prayer, it seemed like to me, as you read the details of this, they were really more about following their own opinions and their own values, and they were just twisting words of the law to fit what they already had deemed was right or wrong. And to me, that just represents what we see daily. Activities almost every day, manipulation of the law by those that don't share our conservative Christian values, that are contrary to what they think is right. And sadly, in 2018, when this particular action was appealed to the Supreme Court refused to hear the appeal. So the Fourth Circuit Court ruling stood. It still stands today. Another example, a new law in Ontario. Now, I realize Ontario is not the United States, but it is North America, and it's kind of a foretaste of what may become in our direction. So listen carefully. A new law in Ontario creates legal jeopardy for parents who do not support their child's gender expression or orientation. The law, known as Bill 89, requires promotion of the best interest of the children, including sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. Many now in Canada and in Ontario, they feel that a child could be removed from their parents' home if the government determines that the parents' religious beliefs are forced upon the child if those beliefs are contrary to the child's gender expression. Well, a group known as the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, they're attempting to try to get an amendment to that law to say that they will not interfere with the freedom of religion, of conscience, and expression of the rights of parents according to their religious beliefs. But that has not been added, and the law is now still in effect, restricting parents' rights. Another example is the aggressive push that we've seen in the last 10 years, ever since the Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriages were illegal. Since that ruling, there's been an aggressive push, and that could, if we're not careful, it could someday lead to government agencies mandating that we as pastors, ministers in the pulpit, that we must make our churches available for same-sex ceremonies and even perform the ceremony if asked to do so. Can you imagine that? That doesn't sound so remote considering everything else that's happened in our nation. Our church, when the same-sex ruling happened in the Supreme Court in 2015, our church took a step to defend its rights against that. Some of you may remember we amended our constitution of our church. We have 16 fundamentals of our faith. We made it 17 fundamentals of our faith. And that 17th fundamental has to do with Christian marriage. This is part of what is in our constitution currently that was amended. Our church's constitution. I want to make real clear. This is the constitution of our church. No minister of Heritage Church or any other minister shall perform at Heritage Church any type of marriage, cohabitation, or covenant ceremony for persons who are of the same sex. Such a ceremony would endorse homosexuality, which is a sin and strictly forbidden in God's word. And I give the scriptures there. It goes on to say, any law of the state of Texas or the United States of America that would seem to compel a minister to perform same-sex marriages will not take authority over or be superior to the Word of God regarding the sanctity of marriage being defined as between one man and one woman, and Heritage Church will vigorously defend its right and freedom to refuse performance of same-sex marriage ceremonies as defined in the Bill of Rights of the Constitution of the United States. That constitutional amendment, our constitutional amendment to the church's constitution, also includes that marriages performed in this church will only be among members of the church or family members of the church. By adding that as our requirement and approved guideline, that we hope that that closes the door to outsiders claiming they should have some equal rights, so to speak, to come in and demand that we host a same-sex wedding. We still see battles in our courts regarding religious freedom and freedom of ideals and beliefs, such as the battles with the cake shop baker and the florist who refused to make a cake for a same-sex wedding or refused to do flowers for a same-sex wedding. Despite the Supreme Court rulings in favor of the cake baker and the florist, there are still city and county governments and some state governments that continue to try to work around that Supreme Court ruling and limit and restrict those freedoms that those folks had as Christians business owners. In some Western countries, you cannot preach against homosexuality. It may someday in our own nation be deemed as hate speech. In countries, even in London, in England today, there's folks that are on trial for hate speech because they preached against homosexuality. In the United States, we could see that. We stand in this church by the grace of God and declare the Word of God according to Holy Scripture. And it defines that there is only one relationship acceptable to God, and that is a man and a woman in the covenant of holy matrimony. We still stand on that belief strongly. We must deal with the reality of our situation in America as it is, not as it once were, not as we wished it were, but as it literally is today. I'll tell you, if we're naive enough to believe that a governing document such as the Constitution will restrain evil in men's hearts, then we're living in a fantasy world. Because the evil in men's hearts will continue to push forward because of the darkness that is in them. We must not and we cannot ignore the ominous trends. As God's people, we have to have a response that is consistent with the Word of God and His righteousness. And we see seismic shifts occurring all around us in our culture and our society against the morality and the conditions we know are consistent with the Word of God. We must preach the truth. We must preach salvation only through Jesus Christ. Not only preaching the truth, but teach those in our churches. Teach them how to be disciples of the Lord in all areas of life, including our responsibilities to have godly influence on those around us, and also godly influence, I would add, in the area of politics as well. That we have a voice according to what the Word of God says. If you think the going has been tough in America over the last few years, just imagine in another 3 to 5 years what it may be like. It could get worse. That's why we must, as the body of Christ in churches all over America, be quick in our response. Are we ready? Are we ready to be fined or spend time in jail? Because we're taking a stand for the truth of the Word of God? Because we're preaching that truth? Are you ready to be counted and to stand up for what you believe in, and even risking somebody saying, that's illegal, you can't say that, you can't do that? Are our families prepared to pay that cost? Those aren't questions that are unreasonable based on what we see. Those are questions that must be asked now. I believe we're likely only 1, 2, or 3 administrative rulings or judicial decisions away from the kind of persecution on a wide scale against our beliefs and our religious freedoms. We truly are, folks, hear me, we truly are racing against the horses, so to speak, for the future of America and the future of freedom of religion and to preach the Word of God. Do you think America is worth saving? Absolutely. It is. You think about what began as 13 sparsely populated colonies coming together, 13 little colonies coming together, fighting against one of the greatest powers in the world, the United Kingdom. And those 13 colonies have grown into the freest and most prosperous nation in the history of mankind. Our founding fathers declared the independence with these words. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection, you like that? Reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They put it all on the line. It was all at risk for what they were doing to create freedom in America. It's clear that God's hand of protection was on this nation, both to secure our independence as a free people and to assist the founders in creating a government that truly derives its powers from the consent of the people, the consent of the governed. That's you and me. That's the way it's supposed to be, by our consent. Sometimes we wonder if that's the case, but that's the way it's designed to be. You know, with freedom, you think about it, America has served the purposes of Almighty God by allowing innovation to come and prosper in our nation to happen, leading to economic strength and technological advances. And all of those things have created great wealth in America that has funded and enabled the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. I believe God had a purpose for this nation. It was for our own religious freedom and for us to have that voice and that gospel message of Jesus Christ, and for that message to go all around the world because of missionaries for the last 200 years that have been spreading the good news. I believe America was raised up by God for that purpose, for advancing the gospel, to create the opportunity for a great harvest before Jesus comes, and He's coming back for us, and He's coming back soon. For all those reasons, I'm telling you, America is worth fighting for. America is worth praying for. But sadly, with our prosperity and with the great power and wealth that we've had in this country, sadly, like many times it happened in Israel, too many Americans have either forgotten or rejected the source of our blessings. The source of our blessings is Almighty God. It always has been, it always will be. Unfortunately, godlessness, immorality, perversion all abound in this land. And sadly, so many Christians respond to that with indifference and apathy. I have to tell you that I think you look back at Israel and you see that the cycle that Israel went through, they would turn from God, they'd turn their back on God. God would bring judgment. They would repent, they'd come back to God. It was just that cycle over and over. Do you ever wonder when judgment is going to come on this nation? Do you ever wonder how God's grace and mercy has just continued to just be on this nation, and rather than bringing the harsh judgment that we might see? Our heritage, I want to tell you this, our heritage cannot save us. Our wealth cannot save us. Our military, our technology will not save us from destroying ourselves. Only God. Only God can save us. The scripture in Proverbs 28 verse 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Because of the transgression of a land, many are just princes. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, right will be prolonged. Understanding and knowledge, bold as lions. That should be you and me. Having understanding and knowledge, being bold as lions, we must be bold as lions according to what the Word of God tells us. Not only that, but we must accept the responsibility for the present condition of the United States of America. We must accept responsibility for it. We must humble ourselves before God in repentance. We must seek His help in His assistance in restoring the righteousness and, yes, the holiness among His people that serve Him and that love Him. It's corrupt and dark as it seems in our nation at times. Sometimes we feel like, probably like the prophet Jeremiah, that we're the only ones left, that we're just a tiny few that are isolated. I'm gonna tell you, we're not alone. We are not alone. There are still millions in this nation of godly men and women, godly men and women who grieve for the condition of this land and pray for spiritual renewal, pray for revival. We're not alone. There are millions of people in churches all across America that yearn to be the salt and the light of the gospel that God has called us to be. Well, that is His call for all of us. Now is the time. Now is the time, and the day is here that we should sound a clear call to be godly, to be righteous, and to be bold as lions to speak the truth. You think about, you look at our situation, we've talked about it already. In America, in a particular county now, in Rowan County, they can't even open the county commissioners' meetings with opening prayer. They're not allowed to do that. Parents now, in many cities and states across America, parents must now allow their children to pursue transgender or homosexual leanings. Or the government could say you're not affirming them and take them away from the parents. Florists and bakers and other businesses are continually battling for their own religious freedom and expressions. Children are being indoctrinated, and not just in our elementary schools and high schools, but in our colleges and our universities, to embrace transgenderism, same-sex marriage, things that are unholy and unrighteous, and sin according to the Word of God. God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 12 and 17. Any nation who refuses to obey me will be uprooted and destroyed. I, the Lord, have spoken. I pray that America has not passed the point of no return. By the way, that's not for you and me to decide. That's up to God, isn't it? But I do know that if we don't repent as a nation, we're doomed. I do know that we serve a God of great mercy who responds graciously to His people who genuinely repent. I know that He was willing to spare Sodom and Gomorrah, wasn't He? Just for 10 righteous people. You remember that story? I know that He delayed judgment on the pagan city of Nineveh because they repented. He delayed judgment on His own people in Israel because they repented. May God in His mercy grant us in America delay of His judgment and give us that opportunity to fall on our knees before God and to repent as a nation. Our personal well-being and our indifference to things is the greatest enemy we have. You know that? It is. Our personal well-being and our indifference are the greatest enemies to us being active and doing what God wants us to do. May the God of heaven stir us and awaken us. May we be stirred and awakened, and that our hearts be moved and our spirits begin to intercede for God's mercy and forgiveness for our nation. Unfortunately, many will fall in the same mindset as the prophet Jeremiah did. He said to the Lord, he said, Lord, the tide is too great. It's useless. It's too hard. We can never make a difference. I'm paraphrasing what Jeremiah said, but that's what he was saying. And the Lord's looking down from heaven right now this morning. He's looking down at you and me, and he's saying, if you think it's tough now, if you think it's tough now racing against men, just wait until you start racing against the horses. Buck it up, old chap. Quit your whining. Look at this last scripture here with me today. This is a familiar word. You know it well. If my people, that's you and me, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh, as we look at this nation, we see its immoral decay. We see the absence of God and righteousness in our culture. How can we not be stirred to pray? How can we not be stirred to kneel at the altar and seek God with all of our hearts on behalf of this nation? We must pray for conviction. We must pray for repentance. We must pray for a mighty move of God's Holy Spirit on people and churches in America. And it doesn't happen unless we, His people, get on our knees and cry out to God for His help. Amen? Oh, we can never make it without God. We must humble ourselves before God if our nation has any chance at all. Today, we've honored our veterans. We've taken time to give thanks to our veterans that have served. Let me conclude with just a few words from some of our leaders regarding this nation and us as the people of God. No right is more fundamental to peaceful, prosperous, and virtuous society than the right to follow one's religious convictions. He went on to say, too often people in positions of power preach diversity while silencing, shunning, or censoring the faithful. True tolerance means respecting the right of all people to express their deeply held religious beliefs. So said our president, Donald J. Trump. Amen. Thank God for that. I'll tell you, Donald J. Trump, I'm not getting into politics, but there has not been a president in my recent mind and history that has been more certain about speaking about our religious freedoms than our current president. He went on to say, today I ask all nations to join us in this urgent moral duty. We ask the governments of the world to honor the eternal right of every person to follow their conscience, live by their faith, and give glory to God. The United States has a vital role in this critical mission. Again, President Trump. There's another fellow that's pretty famous. We are not weak if we make a proper use of those means which the God of nature has placed in our power. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Patrick Henry. Those words are still true today. There's another great leader that I'm very fond of, Ronald Reagan. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed down for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. I'll tell you, it's the flag and the cross together, not separated. It's our faith. It's our religious freedom. And that's the very fabric that started this nation that must continue to be the fabric as we go forward, or we face the judgment of God on this nation.